You are listening to the Midcurrent Church Podcast. Today's message is week one of our new sermon series, Back to the Basics, the Fundamentals of Faith. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and find us on Facebook and Instagram. And now, here is Pastor Sten Carlson with today's message.
In 1961, Green Bay Packers head coach Vince Lombardi, he kicked off the very first day of training camp for the NFL season in the most unusual and unexpected way. You see, the previous season for the Green Bay Packers had ended in a heartbreaking loss to the Philadelphia Eagles after blowing a fourth quarter lead in the NFL championship game. And so when the players reported to training camp the next year, they expected to pick up right where they left off. They expected to begin learning and studying and implementing advanced plays and new formations and new offensive and defensive schemes that would elevate them to higher levels so that they could win the NFL championship that season. It was not at all out of the question, the ultimate goal for them. After all, this was one of the best, if not the best, a team in the league that year that was just inches away from winning it all. And yet when the team showed up that very next season for the first practice, Vince Lombardi, he gathered them all together. He held up a football in the palm of his hand and he addressed his team by saying, "Gentlemen, this is a football." It's not at all what anyone expected, right? He had every player, the first year of the new training camp, he had every player open their playbooks then to page number one, where they began studying and discussing and learning the fundamentals of the game of football, blocking and tackling, throwing, catching, running, etc. No one on the team expected that a team of professionals that were at the top of their game would begin the season on page number one, discussing fundamentals. But Vince Lombardi wanted to make a point. And his point was this: they didn't win. And if they were not winning, then they do not need advanced plays and new fancy formations. They needed to get back to the basics, to study the fundamentals of the game that they were playing so that they would know how to do it best. And today, Midcurrent Church, we are actually going to do the very same thing, not with football, but with following Jesus. Today, we're kicking off a brand new series called Back to the Basics, where we are going to take the next month to explore some of the basic fundamentals of faith, the most basic X's and O's when it comes to following Jesus. If you are new to church, if you are new to faith, maybe you're even unsure about Jesus and what it looks like to follow him, then I'm so glad you're here today. This is going to be a great series to introduce you to some of the main building blocks to a life of faith and following Jesus. Others of you are not new to church, and you've been maybe following Jesus for a long time. Maybe you've been following Jesus your whole life, and right now you're tempted to think, darn, this series is not for you. Right? You're tempted to think that actually what you really need is maybe a series or maybe a conversation or maybe a Bible study somewhere on deep theological matters and where you can discuss and learn more about some of the nuanced biblical interpretation. You might be thinking, shoot, this series ain't for me. And I would disagree. And here's why. As I step back and as I evaluate the state of Christianity in the world today, I'm not sure that we are winning, for lack of a better word. I don't say that in like defeat. I don't say that with some kind of like you know, the sky is falling kind of attitude. I'm just not sure that we're like knocking it out of the park. I'm not sure that we're flourishing in life the way that God intended for us, nor do I think that we are, that Jesus followers, nor do I think that we're all that great all the time of making faith and following Jesus particularly attractive to a curious and to maybe even a skeptical or maybe even a cynical world. In fact, a 2021 Pew Research Project would agree with the fact that we're not necessarily winning. This study found that the percentage of U.S. adults who identify with Christianity dropped 15% from 78% in 2007 to 63% when this study was conducted in 2021. On the flip side of that, the percentage of U.S. adults they found who identify with no religion at all rose 13% in the same time frame, from 16% in 2007 to 29% in 2021. Okay, now there are, I'm sure, lots of factors to consider, lots of factors that went into a report like this. But generally speaking, it would seem, and I would agree, that Christianity is not necessarily winning. And so if we're not winning, once again, for lack of a better word, if we're not winning, then I don't necessarily think that we need new fancy place in church. I don't think that we need advanced theological, you know, presentations and intricate discussions of biblical history and interpretation. There's a time and a place for that. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that. There is a time and a place for that. I just think that maybe right now is the time for us to put into practice, actually to put into practice into our everyday lives some of the most basic fundamentals of the life that Jesus has called us to live. And so that's what this series, Back to the Basics, is going to be all about. Today, we're going to spend the rest of our time discussing maybe like the most basic feature of them all. That maybe the most basic feature of the life of anyone who is following Jesus. In fact, Jesus himself, he boiled down all of the religious laws, all of the expectations. He boiled it all down into really just one word, to one basic kind of activity. And this one activity is the thing that we've got to get right, that we've got to put into play in our everyday lives if Christianity is going to reverse this current downward trend that it is on. And so I want to talk about this one thing and discover what it is. So what I want to have you do with me is turn your attention to the New Testament book of Matthew. Jesus has been teaching publicly by this time. He's been teaching publicly about many things. And all of the so-called experts in the religious law, the group, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, all the experts in the religious law, they're by this point, they're intimidated and they're threatened by the teaching of Jesus, by the authority that he seems to speak with, and they're kind of threatened by the influence that he seems to have and the popularity that he's gaining. And this is kind of where we're going to pick up in this particular story. It's Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 35. Here's what it says. One of them, these Pharisees, these Sadducees, an expert in the religious law, it says, they tried to trap Jesus with this question: "Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? What's the most important one?" And Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second," he says, "is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." Listen to what he says next, verse 40. He says, "The entire law in all the demands of the prophets who wrote long ago. He's saying everything that is required of God's people, all of the things that God has called us to do, all of the things that the kind of people that God has called us to be, he says, are based on these two commandments. And these two commandments, if you notice, they require the same one thing. And it's the most important thing. What is it? Love. Right? All you need is love. He says, love God with everything you've got, and then love your neighbor as yourself. A little later on, Jesus takes this one step further, just to avoid any confusion, because I don't know, maybe some of us here to go today were going, I don't know if I love myself all that well. I don't know if this is what Jesus was thinking, but to avoid any confusion about how we're supposed to love one another, or what that actually might look like, or what that actually might require of us, Jesus makes it plainly clear for us, using what he called the greatest commandment as a springboard. Here's what Jesus tells his inner circle a little later on. This is his 12 closest followers. We see this written in John chapter 13. Jesus says to them this. He says, so now I am giving you a new commandment. He started with the greatest commandment. Now he says, I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Okay, that sounds kind of familiar to the most important commandment that he gave. The question is how, and here's what he says next. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Just as I have loved you guys, that's exactly how you should love each other. Here's the question. How did Jesus love them? How did Jesus love us? Okay? He constantly put their needs ahead of his, our needs ahead of his. He humbled himself and he served them, even though it should have been the other way around, constantly. And if that wasn't enough, he ultimately gave up his life for them as a way to demonstrate his love for them. And he says that they are, and that we are, supposed to do the same thing. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. He says that they are, and that we are supposed to do the very same thing for one another. And then here's the result of it all. Here's why it is so important. Here's why it was important then. Here's why it's important to us today. Here's verse 35. He says this to them. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. See, our love for one another, it is so much more than just some, you know, some kind of concept that we nod our head in agreement with. It's so much more than just the, well, yeah, got that. Yeah, no, cool, great, no, I'm down with that. It's so much more than just something we say, yep, got it. Rather, friends, here's the deal that Jesus is telling us. Love, if we want Jesus following to become a whole lot more attractive, if we want Christianity to start winning, here's what we gotta know. Our love for one another is the demonstration of our association with Jesus. If we want to live a life in a way that the people kind of go, hey, what do you got going on? This is it. Our love for one another, it is the demonstration of our association with Jesus. If we want Christianity to start going up and to the right, if we want our faith to make a difference in the world around us, then how we treat people, how we treat others, it's what's going to do the talking. Right? Our love for one another, it's got to be the distinguishing mark of the lives of those of us who are following Jesus. And here's the catch, right? Here's where I think here's why I think this is worth discussing in a message series like this. Too often, I think that we believe that our association with Jesus, you know, it'll be obvious. I think too often, you know, we think it'll just be assumed because of, you know, all the other things that we do, all the good things even, right? The places we go and the activities that we, I think we just assume that it'll be obvious. We go to church and we put some money in the box and we try to be a good person as often as we can. And we think, well, yeah, people will know, my life will do the talking. But here's the deal, without a Jesus-like love in our everyday lives, everywhere we go, to everyone we encounter, without a Jesus-like love, the good things that we do, they will fail to be the things that God really desires. Without love, right, the good things that we might do will fail to have the impact that they were intended to have. I love the way the apostle Paul, he put it in 1 Corinthians. Paul is one of the first leaders ever of the first century church. And here's what he writes to Christians in this city of Corinth. He says this. He says, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but I didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and I understood all of God's secret plans and I possessed all of the knowledge, if I had such a faith that I could move mountains, but I didn't love others, I'd be nothing. He says, if I gave everything I have to the poor, I mean, that's so good. I mean, that's the stuff that we know we're supposed to be doing. If I gave everything I have to the poor, and if I even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. See, again, what this says to me is that we can look and we can act the part all day long, but we can still be far, far, far off from the heart of the matter. Right? Many Jesus followers, pastors even, they'll defend their faith with far more volume than they will compassion. So many intellectuals today, sadly, including Christians all too often, they'll engage in argument in person and especially online with a demeanor and with an attitude and with a tone that is often indistinguishable from that of the most hardened critics or cynics. Right? Many of the greatest philanthropists or the people who just kind of promote the welfare of others, often through, you know, generous donations to good causes, right? Many of the world's greatest philanthropists, they just substitute their giving and their generosity for their faith in Jesus, right? Far too many people today, that it's just easier for them to promote and to advocate for the right social causes without the costly personal and loving involvement in whatever or whoever they are advocating for, right? And as important as it is to passionately defend faith, as important as it is to give generously, way more generously than we even thought we could do, as important as it is to advocate for people and for causes broadly, if it's not accompanied by just an everyday, real, tangible demonstration of love for peace, love for people personally, that the kind of love that is fueled by God's love for us, if all the good things we do aren't accompanied but by a genuine love for people in our everyday lives, then it's all for nothing. We can do all the right things. We can teach our kids right. We can put our kids in the right school. We can vote for whoever we thought was the right candidate. We can go to the right churches. We can participate in all the right kind of activities. We can go to all the Bible studies or read the right translation of the Bible or, you know, read all the right books and listen to all the right podcasters. But if we don't actually just go out into our everyday lives and love people well, then we're just a big noisy gong or clanging cymbal. If we get all of the other important parts and activities and features of faith right, but we don't love people well along the way, then we'll be speaking a language that no one understands. right, will be the tree falling in the forest that didn't make a sound because nobody heard it. Okay, this goes for our personal lives, and the reality is, friends, it goes for our life as a church too. Okay, we can have the most, you know, we can have the most beautiful facility, which every day I'm stunned at how we landed in a home like this. We can have the most beautiful facility in the coolest location. We can have the best music. We can have the best programs. We can have the smartest, most spiritual, most biblically literate people sitting in the seats every week. We can have the best and the wittiest and the most handsome pastor in the world. I'm talking about Pastor Jonathan, by the way. We can have it all. But if the world out there doesn't experience love from us, then it's all for nothing, gang. It's all for nothing. And now here's the deal. I'm not saying you have to like everyone. I'm not saying you have to agree with everyone. I'm not saying this doesn't mean that love can't have limitations, right? A lot of people think today in the world that love and limitations are like mutually exclusive ideas. Just because you say no doesn't mean you're unloving. Just because you enforce a boundary or you hold someone accountable to a standard that is best for them, it doesn't inherently mean that you are unloving. So don't think I'm saying that this idea of loving other just means we kind of throw our hands up or we just kind of sit on our hands and go whatever. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying, friends, it is if we're telling the world, or if we want to tell the world, if we want our lives somehow to tell the world that Jesus loves them, but they don't sense that we do. If we're trying to say, hey, Jesus loves you, but they don't sense that we love them, then I'm not sure they will be listening. Right? It's going to be harder for people in our lives to accept the fact that Jesus loves them if they don't feel the love from the people who say that they love Jesus. And so here's my question. I told you that this is just back to the basics. Okay? And here's my question, and I suppose this is kind of where the rubber meets the road. Here's where the most basic building block, maybe this is the spot where it actually gets a little bit difficult, because it is basic, but it's not always that simple for us. And so here's my question. Who do you need to love just a little bit better? Right, who in your life needs to see and experience more real, tangible love from you? Who in your life needs a demonstration of your love so that they would know that your association is with Jesus? Who in your life needs to see and sense more love from you? Right, you can check all the other boxes, but if there's someone in your life that you know that you're not loving well, loving the way that Jesus loves you, then the reality is, friends, you don't need another Bible study. You don't need another in-depth conversation on theology. What you need and what we all need, if there are people in our lives that we're not loving well, what we need is to get back to the basics. And so, I don't know, maybe it could be any number of things. Maybe it's a sibling who you are at odds with over some conflict, over some tension, over something that happened years ago. Maybe it's a parent or a child that you're estranged from. Maybe it's a family friend who, I mean, you just know, man, you got wildly different political views or views on this or that. Maybe it's the coworker who you know is skeptical or maybe even somewhat cynical about Christianity that makes you, you know, nervous, that kind of puts a wedge between you. Maybe it's a person, or maybe it's kind of a group of people that you see around town every day or every week who you just know kind of do life a little bit different than you, that means you kind of, you know, back away or shy away more often than you should. I don't know who it is for you. But what I would love to do for you is to hold someone out in front of you. Love to hold someone out in front of you who doesn't look like you or talk like you or dress like you or vote like you or read the Bible like you. I'd love to hold someone out who maybe doesn't even read the Bible at all. Hold someone that maybe hasn't made the same choices that you have, hasn't lived the same life as you, maybe someone who has way more than you, or maybe someone who has way less than you, someone whose life has been harder than yours, someone whose life you feel like has been easier than yours, maybe someone who is, you know, homeless, or maybe someone who owns two homes. Love to hold out for you, someone who lives across the street or works across the hall or sits at a desk across the room, someone who's standing behind you at the grocery store. I'd love to hold them out in front of you and say, Mid-Current Church, this is a neighbor. This is your neighbor. And this is who you have been called to love just as you love yourself. It might seem all too simple. Might feel so elementary, but that you can't help but kind of roll your eyes or you just kind of let it slough off your shoulder. It might feel so elementary, not even worth your time or attention, or you may be going, man, it's not even that. But this is something so small, so basic, not even possible to make that big of a difference, Sten. But I actually think that that's where some of the greatest victories in life begin. I think some of the greatest accomplishments begin with the most basic beginnings. And that was the case for the 1961 Green Bay Packers. You may or may not know how that season ended for the Packers, but Vince Lombardi's hyper focus on fundamentals that year, it seemed as though it all paid off, because just 1 year removed from that disappointing loss, Lombardi's team went on to win the NFL championship that season 37-0 against the New York Giants. Lombardi never coached a team again that had a losing record. He never lost a playoff game after that. And in total, he won 5 championships in just 7 years. The greatest accomplishments, gang, begin with the most basic beginnings. And so for me, I just can't help but think, I'd love to invite you to imagine what the next 7 years could be like in the hallways of your school. Imagine what the next 7 years could be like on the streets in our community. Imagine what the next 7 years could look like in our neighborhoods. Or imagine what it could look like around our Thanksgiving tables. Imagine what this church could look like, or what the kingdom of God could look like in the next 7 years if love was your and my everyday demonstration of our association with Jesus. What if that was just our default? What if our love for others was how others knew that we loved Jesus? And better yet, what if our love for others was how others knew that Jesus loved them too? I, for one, would love to take a crack at that. I would love to find out what could happen if that was our default every single day. And I would love for us here at Mid-Current Church to lead the way. Let me pray for us. God, there is a lot to learn. There's a lot to understand. There's a lot to discuss when it comes to faith and when it comes to following you the way that you have called us to. And God, there absolutely is a time and a place for us to engage in some of the advanced and you know, significant discussion about the whole deal. But God, I think there's a time to pause and to step back and to say, you know what? We got to get back to the beginning. We got to put some of the basics into place if this thing is going to take off the way we want it to, and if this is going to take off the way that you desire. So God, I pray that you would help us with what is maybe the most basic feature of our faith, maybe so basic that we just don't tend to think about it all that often. God, would you help us to be people who just have a way of demonstrating every day, God, just our coming and our going, who we are. I pray that you would help us to be people who just demonstrate our love for the world around us, so that the world around us might know that it is your son, Jesus, with whom we associate, God. So help us to know where, when, and how. God, my guess is for some of us here, there's people coming to mind. There's relationships coming to mind. My guess is for some of us here, there's kind of people groups coming to mind, God. And I just pray that you would help us to take steps, not toward, you know, just, you know, I'm not saying we got to become best friends with everyone or we got to be in agreement with everyone. God, I'm just asking that you would help us with whoever those people are that are coming to our mind. I'm praying that you would help us to see the ways, practically speaking, that we can demonstrate love for them in everything that we do, God. And we pray that it might have an impact, that it might have an influence ultimately on how well people understand your love for them. God, use us to do more than we ever thought was possible through such a simple, basic act of loving people well. Thank you for Son Jesus too, who loved us incredibly well, so much that he gave his life up for us. We pray these things in his name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Midcurrent Church. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Midcurrent Church is located at 200 First Street in downtown Hudson, Wisconsin. Be sure to join us on Sunday mornings both online and in person at 9 and 10:30 a.m.